subject, so, and something that is really important that I'm going to give today, and that is how to read and study the Bible. This is a very important subject, and I believe whenever we buy something, or buy a car, or a microwave, or whatever something you buy, it comes with a manual. And if you don't study the manual, you don't know how to operate it. I'm a person, I don't like going through manuals when I buy something. I like to do it right away. And at the end, there's a lot of frustration that I have to study the manual. In the same way, manual for our life is the Word of God. And if you have a Bible, where everybody have a Bible, I'm going to ask some questions now, so you'll be awakened to what we are going to see here, study here. If I ask you, how many books are there in the Bible? 66 books. How many in the Old Testament? 39. In the New Testament. Now, if you know multiplication and mathematics, you don't have any problem. So, who wrote the 27? Who wrote the first five books in the Bible? In the Old Testament? Moses. What are they called? The first five books. Yeah, or the law, the Pentateuch. Now, the majority of the Old Testament was written in what language? Hebrew. I said majority. Alright? That means there are a few passages in the book of Jeremiah, in Daniel, and Ezra, and Esther written in another language. What language is that? Chaldean. Okay? And the New Testament is written in what language? Mostly. Greek. When you say Greek, is it classical Greek or Koine Greek? Yeah, what do you mean by Koine Greek? Okay, what do you mean by classical Greek? Okay, Koine Greek is the common person's language, common man's language. The person on the street can understand. It's God revealed His word to the even to the beggar or to the man, the poorest man, the fisherman who wrote the Bible. Most of them were fishermen. They were not educated people. So the Bible in Greek was written by very common Greek. Now if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3:15, and it says here, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Of course Paul is talking to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable of doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word there in King James is not right. The original is breathed out. It's not a Bible, it's just not an inspirational book. There are a lot of inspirational books. But if you read the modern versions, it will say breathed out. Okay? It means that it's breathed out. The scripture is breathed out from God. And it's profitable. See verse 17. What is the whole purpose of this? So the man of God may be perfect. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all work. What is the purpose of our Christian life? That we would become perfect as He is. But we can never attain that perfectness, but we will grow in our sanctification every day in our life, that we will become like Him. The more we read the Bible, the more we will become like Him. Now, if you look at the scriptures, the Word of God need to be admired, the Word of God need to be honored, the Word of God need to be treasured above anything else. In the early times, when the church received a letter, an apostolic letter, they were so excited Okay, these letters were written, for instance, you know, the book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinthians, right? The book of Romans is written to church in Rome. Galatians is the same way. So here, Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ, he says, I'm writing this letter to you. In the same way, just imagine, this Bible are letters, in the, you know, in the epistles, they are written to the church. Means, in, and if you go even more, it's written to you. Understand? So when they received the letter, alright, and they didn't have the full Bible completed, when they received the letter, they were so excited. What did they do? And they copied it. They copied it, and they treasured it so much. And they hide it. It is a treasure. Where do you keep your treasure? People hide their treasure. And the Bible, the copies were hidden in the times of battle and war. They hid these treasures, the copies. So their lives will be given, their lives will be destroyed, all the material things will be destroyed, but the Word of God will be preserved. Man, just imagine, that's how they honored the Word of God. Then came, of course, you know, the Roman Catholic era. In the Dark Ages, the Word of God was kept away from the common man. Because the Word of God was written in Greek, it was destined to Latin, and people couldn't understand the Word of God. Only the priest could read it. You got to be educated to read the Bible. So how can the common man can understand? For about 1,000 years, the people were kept in dark. However, there were some people who rose against the Roman Catholic Church, and they said, we need to translate the Bible to the common man's language. What happened? They were killed. They were burned to death. The Rome burned them to death. This is what happened. Then, of course, we see the Reformation came. When the Reformation came, I'll tell you, God used Martin Luther to bring the Reformation, and he was used, and then the Bible was translated into German, because Luther is from Germany. Then later on, the Reformation went to England, and when it went to England, there was a Queen Mary was a Roman Catholic, and these people, the people who loved the Bible, you know what they did? They burned 300 reformers, including 8 children, burned alive because they loved the Bible so much. And then we see Luther was used at the beginning of the Reformation as a foundation, but the master builder of the Reformation is John Calvin, the theologian. And John Calvin was the most dominant figure in the Protestant Reformation. When people were getting persecuted for reading the Bible, people were getting persecuted in England, everywhere else. And they found a place of refuge that they can go, and that was Geneva in Switzerland. Everybody went to Geneva because Calvin, he taught in Geneva, and all the people who loved God, who wanted to serve God, went to Geneva. And Protestants, Geneva became a haven for the refugees. Almost the whole city of Geneva came to hear the Word of God. On Sundays, there were services at daybreak and noon and afternoon. There were services on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. In addition, 17 sermons a week in a city of 13,000 people. And this was called the Reformation. Calvin was a master theologian, yet he did not compromise with the Word of God. What Scripture taught, Calvin believed, and he preached. Just imagine, about 2 or 3 years before he died, Calvin became very sick. His friends advised him to rest from his labors. And this is what he said. I'm going to quote. And he replied, do you want the Lord to find me idle? At the end, they had to take him, carry him, for him to preach. Then from Geneva, from Calvin's pupils, some of his pupils, one of them was John Knox. Have you heard the name John Knox? John Knox. And he's from Scotland. So he went from Geneva, he came because of the persecution after studying so much, he went back to Scotland for his own hometown. And he came to his pulpit in the church and he cried at the pulpit saying, "Oh Lord, give me Scotland or I will die." Then the Lord poured out his spirit on Scotland and the Reformation came to Scotland. Then in the 1800s, there was Charles Spurgeon in England. 16 years old, became a pastor. 16 or 17 years old, became a pastor. He went to high school, he passed, he was graduated, but he couldn't go to college because when he was waiting for his appointment, somebody led him to the wrong room and he couldn't wait. So God anointed him and he became a pastor later on. And here's Charles Spurgeon, he said the old truth that Calvin preached, that Augustine preached, is the truth that I preach today. Or else I would be false to my conscience and to my God. I cannot shape up the truth. I know of no such thing for paring off the rough edges of the doctrine. John Knox's gospel is my gospel, and the gospel which thundered through Scotland must thunder through England again. And you know what? It thundered through England again under Spurgeon's preaching. I'm telling you, the Bible is not thundering through our country today. And Spurgeon said, without human manipulations for altar calls or using sensational emotional gimmicks, Spurgeon, he really trusted in the Word of God, and this is what he said, "I do not come to this pulpit hoping that perhaps somebody's will of his own free will return to Christ. My hope lies in another quarter. I hope that my master will lay hold of some of them and say, 'You are mine and you shall be mine. I claim you myself.' My hope arises from the freeness of grace and not from the freedom of the will." But today, it's so sad. The Bible is being left out. Many times you see what? Today people come, they just believe whatever that comes from the pulpit. They do not read and study the scriptures. Some of you are just falling asleep when you hear the Word of God. You're not really serious. There's so much pride in us. We don't want to give in. And people look for wonders and emotions and miracles rather than to the scriptures. Even Satan can perform miracles, you know that? Because he did it in Egypt, right? He was able to counterfeit. Satan is a counterfeiter. He can counterfeit miracles. And there are people, just because there are so many people falling down the aisle, and because somebody's credentials are so high as a teacher or a pastor, it doesn't mean anything. Just because somebody looks very sincere, very truthful, it doesn't mean anything. We need to test the Word of God. Everything what they say should come from the Word of God. We need to cut the true line and separate truth from error. So there are many pastors and evangelists who will say, "Well, God spoke to me and said this. Oh, I had a vision, I had a dream." And I'll tell you, we need to test it from the Word of God. There is so many places today which is called the Miracle Crusades or the Holy Ghost Revival. I'll tell you, the Word is being left out. It's all emotions. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, 13, Jesus said, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come." Look very carefully. The Spirit of truth. What is the Spirit of truth? What is the truth? It's the Word of God is the truth. hold on to John and turn to Daniel chapter 10, 21. Daniel 10:21. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. That is the truth. The scripture is the truth. See that? So the Holy Spirit comes. He will guide us into truth. And what is the truth? It is the scripture, the word of God. Daniel 10:21. And also Ephesians 1:13. It is the word, it's the truth. It's the word of God, it's the truth. Ephesians 1:13, Apostle Paul said, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. That is it. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will, the truth, the spirit of truth comes. The Holy Spirit, it brings us the truth. That's the word of God. He is not going to speak on his own authority, with emotions and all that stuff. Then verse 14 says, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the glory of Lord Jesus Christ? Where is it? It is the cross. That's where we want to glorify. It's the gospel, the cross, and its resurrection. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, said the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do not tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and their lightness. Yet I send them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit these people at all, says the Lord. God says, I did not send them. Their visions, their dreams, it's not from me. It's just an imagination on their own. Let me tell you something. The confession and the cry of the Reformation was called sola scriptura. It means by scripture alone, nothing else. It means that the Bible is no longer open to correction through later revelations. That means there are going to be some people who say, God revealed to me something. And now this is a new revelation, but the Bible is wrong. I have something new. The scripture is a closed book. It's been revealed. The Bible is complete. And we must not try to go beyond what is written already. In Revelation 22:18 says, do not add to this prophecy. Right? Do not add anything to this prophecy. So there are no other prophecies that's going to happen and say, God told me this. And also, see Galatians 3:15. Galatians 3:15, Apostle Paul says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. That means nobody will take it away and nobody can add it. It is done. It has been confirmed. Now, almost all Christians have a Bible at home. And some of your Bibles are neatly bound and have beautiful covers. Does not worn out. It's too still looks very new, and some of you keep the Bible in safe places at home, and only Sundays you open the Bible. There is no reading of the precious scriptures. Do not search the scriptures. Do not study the Word of God. Only when you're going through hardships, that's the time. Where's my Bible? And look for the Bible. Only when you are, that's the only time you read the Bible or go to church, take the Bible. People are not reading the Bible, but they just come on Sunday morning, that's the time they open the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said, let me quote what he said. He said, there's dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your own fingers. That's pretty heavy. First, let us see why some read the Bible and still some people read the Bible. Let us see some of the motivation why some people read the Bible. these are wrong motivations, what I'm going to give. Many read the Bible as a tradition. And they say, I did my part today by reading the Word of God. Now, I'm free. For the rest of the day, I can go and do my business. And God is not looking for a sacrifice. What He needs is obedience to what you have read. You have read the Bible, but you don't understand what it read, what it meant. In short, you just, if you read the Bible, okay, and after a few hours, if somebody comes and says, did you read the Bible? Yeah, I read this part. Okay, can you explain that to me? Well, I don't know. What does it profit you reading the Bible? It's just like a sacrament. It's like a superstitious thing. If you don't understand it, what's the big deal? You just wasted your time. So God doesn't want a sacrifice. He wants obedience. Some read the Bible as an accomplishment. And they say, I have read the Bible from cover to cover. I heard people like that. I have read it. It's an accomplishment. It is an experience in the past event. It is kind of history for them because I have done it in my life. That doesn't profit anything if you don't understand it. If you don't know what it is, what good is it? Some not only read the Bible, but they study it and get, you know what, puffed up. They get puffed up with the Word of God. And they get so puffed up, then they will see everybody's weaknesses. Hey, I don't like that one. These people cannot stay in one church. Because every church they go, they see everybody's weakness. So they go church hopping, you know, and they can find. Then they will say, well, I'm going to be my own church. I tell you, that's happening too. And there is so much pride that's for their own destruction. But the Bible should be read with repentance, in humility, in love. And some read and study the Bible because they have to teach others. I got to give a Bible study, so I got to study. It becomes a work for them, not a joy. They teach others what to do, but they don't do. This is a bad example. They do not sanctify themselves. So first you read the Bible, the God will speak to you, your heart will be changed so you can speak to the others. Not just, well, it's another lecture here. It's not a classroom. Some read the Bible to critique God. Can you believe that? They read the Bible to find faults in the Bible so they can critique God. To find faults. And some read the Bible only their favorite passages. Oh, I love to hear about the Antichrist. I like to hear about the rapture. I want to hear about the end time. But they don't want to study anything on the holiness of God. And it's like they are growing only in one part of the body. They are abnormal in a spiritual sense. They don't want to know the whole counsel of God. Now, the Bible, Chris read in Psalm 19, verse 7, as David said, Psalm 19, 7, of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This word of God can convert the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. And a lot of times you will see in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to them, the prophets, and he says, thus saith the Lord, the Lord. This is the scripture. It is the word of God. Reading the Bible, we need to read the Bible with understanding. If you don't understand, It's no good. It's like a bird that is flying over the land, you know, but they cannot find a place of rest. And it's so important, we need to understand the interior so that our soul can understand what is said in the Bible. Otherwise, we are not profiting anything. This is what is called soul reading. It's not just with your eyes you read, with your soul. Remember, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. Matthew 12:3. Jesus said to the Pharisees, but he said to them, have you not read? Okay, now go back to Matthew 19:4. Said Matthew 19:4, and he answered them, this is again to the Pharisees, and said, have you not read? Alright, now go back to Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? And Matthew 22:31 says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Now, listen here. Many times he repeated to the Pharisees, have you not read? Now, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's not speaking to anybody who is ignorant in the Word of God. The scribes and the Pharisees, they studied the Word of God daily. They knew how many times such a word is written, and they were intense readers of the Word of God. They were so prideful in their knowledge, and they knew exactly what place the Word of God is in their books. Yet, our Lord met them on their own court, and he went to their own camp and said, have you not read? I'll tell you, these people read it, but they didn't understand. A lot of people just read the Bible, but understand. The eyes have gone over the letters. Pharisees, they have counted how many letters are there, the position of the letters. Yet Jesus said, have you not read? The Word of God. You know, the truth is the sweetest when it breaks from the smitten rock. Now let me tell you, when you read the Word of God, you need to know what you are reading it. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Nehemiah 8:8. Old Testament, it is after Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, before Job. And it says here, Nehemiah 8:8, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense, means they understood, and helped them to understand the reading. So you need to know how to understand what is being said. That's what it says there. So we need to make a serious effort to understand what is in the Word of God. Now, how can you love somebody that you don't have any knowledge of that person? Of course not. You love somebody if you know of a good knowledge of that person. You don't go and tell I love you anybody else because you don't have a knowledge of that person. How about God? Can you love God if you don't have any knowledge about him? Of course not. We can kiss the Bible, but if you don't have any love and devotion, what good is it? We can reverence the letters in the Bible, but if you don't have any love for God, what good is it? So when you read the Bible, our motive is to what? To know God, to have a knowledge of God. The more knowledge you have in God, the more you can love him. Some people say, I don't want doctrine. I don't want doctrine. You know what his doctrine is? It means teaching. They say, I don't want doctrine. I don't like theology. You know what his theology means? It means the study of God. I don't want that stuff. I want practical stuff. If you want practical stuff, become a Buddhist. They give you some practical stuff. If you want practical stuff, become a Muslim. They'll give you some practical moments or whatever. You know, that's not it. You know, we need to, we are living in a generation that is so pragmatic. So we need to, the more, we need to study, we need to know who God is, we need to have a knowledge of God. The more you have a knowledge of that person, the more you can love him. Remember, the high priest in the Old Testament, before he put the incense upon the brazen altar, he always lit the candlestick. It shows that the mind should be lighted before we worship God. Our mind should be lighted so we can see God. And we should have that knowledge on seeing God. So we need to have knowledge of God before we can love him and worship him, filled with his knowledge. We need to be filled in his knowledge. The more we are filled in his knowledge, the more we can worship him. Colossians chapter 1, 9-11. Paul is saying, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, long-suffering, and joy. Wow. No wonder some people don't have any long-suffering. Why? They have no knowledge in the Word of God. They have no knowledge of God. So we need, our mind should be awakened, not fall asleep when you read the Word of God. Some people get go, all right, I'm going to read the Bible before I sleep. So now they're really tired at the end of the day, they're going to read the Bible. I'll tell you, they read the Bible, they don't get nothing of it, they're fast asleep. Morning, do you really read the Bible? You know, Jesus will ask, have you not read? Just like how he asked the Pharisees. Remember, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, spoke to Moses. Exodus 3, 5. The Lord spoke to Moses from the burning bush and said, what did he say? Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Now, let me tell you, Moses had passed this way many times because he was a shepherd. He knows this ground very good. He had passed many times. But suddenly, this place became holy ground. How can that be? He had passed this place many times and he didn't take off his sandals before. But now, it became the sacred ground. Now, let me tell you how inspirational this is for us. In the same way, we have read many books and so forth like that, but when it comes to the Bible, we treat the Bible just like another book. I'll tell you, when Moses came there, when the Lord came there, it became the sacred ground. It is not the sacred ground until the Lord was there. In the same way, the Lord is in the Bible. So we had to treat this as a sacred book. We have read many books, so when it comes to the Bible, we are entering into heavenly place, in the heavenly thoughts here. We are of the earth, so we read other books. In the same mind, we cannot read the Bible. Just like the priest in the Old Testament, he washed his feet before he did all his holy work. He washed his feet in the temple. So in the same way, we need to wash our mind from all our worldly things, worldly thoughts. Our eyes should be washed in prayer before we get into the holy word of God. We are reading his holy word. We need to do it in a holy way. It's not like reading another newspaper, a magazine, or a story. This is our spiritual meal. Before we partake our meal, what do? We pray. In the same way, before we partake in our spiritual meal, we pray and ask the Lord to wash our mind. Then, there are shallow passages in the Bible where everybody can understand, right? This is like sheep eating the grass on a flat land, no problem. But sometimes, the sheep has to go into deep valleys, mountains. It's not easy. So there are scriptures that are difficult to understand. But I'll tell you, God put those scriptures purposely. Why? There are some scriptures very difficult to understand. Some passages not easy. But why did God put those? Why? So we will labor in studying. We will pray, meditate, so that we can understand. Because our Heavenly Father, He educates us to go to heaven. He educates. There's no easy shortcut to understand the difficult scriptures. We need to labor and meditate, and there's pain involved in these scriptures. It's like grapes. You cannot yield wine until it's been pressed with our feet. Right? How about the olives? Must be put under a wheel and pressed again and again and again to get olive oil. So, in the same way, God, the Word of God is always precious when we study and get the meaning at it at the end. And once we understand it, we say, oh, wow, how sweet it is. I got the meaning. I'm so excited. It is so sweet for our soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Verse 11. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep, deep things of God. Wow. Now what about when it comes to Exodus, the book of Leviticus, and the book of Numbers? You know, we love to get on with Genesis and go through. Then when it comes to Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, we kind of give up. Because it's kind of boring, these books. Because all you find is in the wilderness, the tabernacle, it talks about furniture, bowls, knobs, boards, sockets, doors, and scarlets, and linen, and stones, and candlesticks. Some people, they give up. They're so bored. So why did God, but still God put those things there for us to read? But we need to, when it comes to those things, we need to still study and look for the inner meaning of that. And do a thorough search. I'll tell you, the best treasure is found in a locked place, right? When you see the best treasure is found in a locked place. And when you open it, wow, I found the meaning of this. So the unlocking meaning, these words will be blessed once it's been unlocked to us. And I'll tell you, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to what? Understanding. Just not reading. And apply your heart to understanding. And if you cry out for discernment, that means what? Prayer. Right? If you don't understand, pray. And lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Wow. Now, it is sad to say that many people in the church, they are depending on the pastor alone for their knowledge in the Bible. I'll tell you, that's second-hand knowledge. Why won't you go to first-hand? Go yourself straight to the scriptures. The pastor is there for you to encourage and to edify and to rebuke and to correct and to show your sins and to make you stronger in the Word of God. But also, you need to have your personal devotion, your personal reading in the Word of God. Do not depend on the pastor alone. That's second hand. I got it first hand, but you are getting it second hand. Why won't you go first hand straight to the waters of life? Direct to the waters of life. And the other thing I would like to say is, when you read the Word of God, how do you read? You know, we need to read. Let me give an example. Turn with me to Psalm 66. Let's take an example here. Alright. Now, do you read like this?
Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works through the greatness of your power.
Some people read like that. Hey, the psalmist did not write like that. The person who wrote it at the beginning, he did not write like that. He did not mean by that. What he meant was, he made it like this. Make a joyful shout to God. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. That's what it means. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are His words. For many, there is so much passion in the Bible, so much drama in the Bible, so much, so much emotions in the Bible, because it was written by emotional beings, for emotional creatures like us. There's blood flowing in the Bible, right? There's war. There's suspense in the Bible. There's all these things are in the Bible. So when you read it, when you read another storybook, you read, whew, it's really great, right? Just another novel, a lot of suspense. But when it comes to the Word of God, Satan comes and gives you something like that. He blows your mind and says, that's the Bible. That's different. You know, it's kind of,
how glorious is God?
Like that. But the Bible says, sometimes it says, God's, you know, slain him. You know, sometimes God slain him. He slain him, you know. There's so much suspense there. But when you read the Word of God, we need to read it just like how other, when you read another book, we get a lot out of it. But the Bible, because you know why? Satan doesn't want you to read it. He says, that's boring. That's what he says. He doesn't want you to get into it. That's a boring book. Don't ever read it. But I'll tell you, once the Spirit of God falls upon you, you will see this is the most exciting book. Don't listen to the enemy. John chapter 5:39. John 5:39, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. In these they which testify of me. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the center is Christ Jesus. We need to see Jesus in every page that we read. If you don't see Jesus, we are not profiting anything. In every book there is Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the proof of the Bible. From every little village in California, there's a road to Los Angeles, if you don't believe it. Ask Lanzo. He will tell you. In the same way, in every page and text in the Bible, there is a road to Jesus Christ. Remember, He is called the Word. And the Word is called life in John 6:63. John 6:63, He is called, the Word is called life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word of God is not just another book. It contains life. What it means is it can change life. This is the only book that can give salvation. It can change a drug addict to a saint. It can change an adulterer to a saint. That's how it can change a murderer to a saint. This is the only book because it contains life. And I'll tell you, turn with me lastly to 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. 1 John 1:1. Life is found on Jesus Christ, and Jesus is in the center of the Word of God. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life manifested, this is talking the Lord Jesus Christ from the very beginning, the Creator of the universe. The life was manifested, God became man, and we have seen, we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and of Jesus Christ. Wow. Here we see how we need to lean on Jesus. We need to have Him personal in our life. Look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read it, the Scriptures talks of Jesus. The Scripture that I speak to you is, it doesn't have eternal life, but it talks about Jesus Christ, talking about Him who can give eternal life. So reading the Bible will become, we will become more and more like Christ, because it is the Word. He is called the Word. It is life. We love Him, we can love Him, we can adore Him. And I'll tell you, this is the only book, this is the only book that was written in blood, in a sense. This is the only book that Christ wrote. It is the book that is written and sealed in blood. This is it. And it is the blood of Christ that is being sealed. And we can love Him, we can adore Him. And John says, we have seen with our own eyes. We have handled Him. We have touched Him. And we concerning the Word of life. And you want to touch Jesus? And you want to handle Him? Jesus said, blessed are those who have seen, but blessed are those who have still not seen, but yet believe. And here, it is the Word of God that is being preserved for us. And I'll tell you, want to encourage you. So when you read the Word of God, don't take it as another book. It is a heavenly book. It is from heaven. It's not an earthly book. The Bible cannot be put and kept with other books. It is above every other book. It is a heavenly manner. It is different. And we need to, on this earth, we need to elevate our mind to heavenly thoughts when we read the Word of God. We cannot elevate ourselves. We need to do that through prayer before we come to God. And this book is been translated and given to men, taken to many people, and people who are, you know, the story. Let me give you this last story. There's a man, American or a British tourist, who was going through Africa, and when he was going through Africa in a certain tribe, he saw this man boiling a pot of water, and he kind of saw this man who was a native, a tribe. He had a Bible. In his own tongue, he's reading the Bible. Of course, the Bible always looks like this. So this tourist, he said, well, what is that? He said, this is the Bible. And when he was reading this, this guy who's a worldly tourist, he ridiculed and mocked at him for reading the Word of God. And this man said, if not for this book, you'll be in this boiling pot today. says, I was a cannibal before. I used to eat people. If not for this book, you would be in this boiling pot. But this book changed that man's life. That's what the Word of God can do. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. As we studied how your Word has become so precious to us, even through the rest of the nation, Bible has been ridiculed, mocked. People burnt the Bibles to get rid of it because they want to get rid of God. But Lord, they even murdered, they even killed the people who want to translate the Word of God into their own common language. Apostle Paul said, they can chain me, but they cannot chain the Word of God. Oh Father, how we love you. How we thank you, Lord, for preserving the Word of God for us. How people, they were martyred for the Word of God because they were in love with you and they want to give the Word of God to the common person. And they were martyred. Father, we don't appreciate that today. Because we have a Bible in every house. We have different translations. We have too many Bibles. And we don't even read it. But on the other hand, there are people in China and in different parts of the world. One Bible is being shared with hundreds of people. They are hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. And here, we take it so ignorantly. We don't appreciate. We don't read it. We don't study it. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord. It's a crime that we have done. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that we would read the Word of God, that we would taste it and see how great, how beautiful is the Lord. How sweet He is. How He came and changed our life. That we will not conform to the world. The Bible is a book that gives direction and warning. It's a manual for our life. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would, like a little worm that gets into a peanut and makes a hole. And if in that little hole he has to really labor the worm to get into the peanut, and after that he's tasty and he keeps on eating the peanut through the shell, he keeps on eating and he dies. In the same way, Lord, that we would labor into getting to your Word, and we would dwell upon it, and we'll keep on meditating and eating for the rest of our life until we die. Oh, Father, we ask for your Spirit to fall upon us, Lord, that we would thirst and hunger for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.